Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Through the Bible, we're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order. Now, one of the things that I realized, I worked 12 years in the electrical industry, three great companies, 4 years each. And eventually I became an engineer, and I'm working in Sykes, Missouri as an engineer, making good money, had a new home out in the country. But God got dealing with me about ministry. So long story short, I quit my job, sold my house, moved to Oklahoma to go back to school again. And I spent 3 years in a 2-year school. Then I spent three summers in the master's program at Oral Roberts University. And so I've been worked on church staff for 10 years, another church staff for almost a year. And now for the last 28 years, I've been traveling. And so what you've been doing? Well, I've been teaching seminars on marriage and parenting. God spoke to me in 1975, said, one day I'm going to take you all over the country, and I'm going to use you to minister to families, especially to parents. And I'm going to use you to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Your own family is going to be amazed at what I'm going to do in your life. You'll be known as the repairer of the breach, the restorer past dwell in. So that's how the process started. So I really got hungry for the Word of God. Now, I've always loved it, man. When I got born again. And so, man, I went through my Bible. He said, how'd you learn the Bible? Well, I taught chapel in a Christian school every day, 171 days a year. And so I went to a children's Bible storybook called Eggermeyer's Bible Storybook, Warner Press, still in every bookstore in America. So I went through that Bible storybook 10 times in 10 years. So I went from Genesis to Revelation 10 times in 10 years. I said, if you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation 10 times in 10 years, you sort of get the big story. You know, God's good, devil's bad, people are stupid, but it builds faith. And people just wonder, how'd you learn? Well, I learned something. You know, it all started back in creation. When Adam and Eve, when they got fired from their job, evicted from the house, kids start killing each other. We get down to Noah and the flood. God drowns everybody. And all of a sudden, the boat lands. They start repopulating earth. They get down to the Tower of Babel, where God has to confuse the languages, scatter them to the four corners of the earth. God's been working with mankind for a long, long time. So when Israel finally sinned, God scattered them. And said he scattered them to the four corners. He told them, he prophesied, I'll scatter you to the four corners of the earth. So the Romans came in. The land was desolated. They poured salt in all the farmland so nothing would grow. I mean, that's how mad they were, sowing salt in the farmland. So the Israelis were scattered everywhere. Well, in 1948, God had prophesied, one day I'll bring you home. I'll bring you home from the four corners of the earth, and I'll bring you back to Israel. So in 1948, for the first time in 2,000 years, Israel became a nation. They hadn't existed. The Hebrew language, I thought, was dead. But all of a sudden, they become a nation again. And the day they become a nation, seven other nations attacked them. I mean, it started off as a war from day one. Then you had the three-day war and the six-day war. It's like they've had to fight for survival. But God said, I'll bring them back because he still has 7 years of Jewish time left. We look at the time frame back when I taught history all those years, those 490 years that were prophesied about. Well, there's still 7 years left. You know, that thing ended. And so all of a sudden, there's 7 years of Jewish history left to fulfill. We live in the church age. We're part of the body of Christ. We've been grafted into the family of God. So here we are. So we're part of the family of God. And so God's moving like a freight train today. We live in the greatest day of human history. There's never been a better day to be alive than today. There's never been a better day to get married than today. Never been a better day to have children than today. We live in what the Bible calls the last days. God said in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You'll dream dreams. You'll have visions. God said the last, God always finishes stronger than he starts. And so here we are in incredible time of the last days when it is a great time to be alive. People think, well, the world's kind of going to hell in the handbasket, the old slang says. But no, God's moving like a freight train. I used to tell people there are more people on the mission field today than the history of the church. God's moving, but God doesn't have a news channel. God does not have a newspaper. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time Jesus did a miracle, the first thing Jesus would say is, shh, don't tell anybody. If he got somebody healed, he says, shh, don't tell them. That was for you. This is not a billboard. This is not a advertising. This is a one-on-one God. God is a personal one-on-one God. And so we're going through this 2,000-year period of history where this is the church age. Well, the church age is coming to a close. Well, when will that be? The Bible says only God knows. Jesus said, even I don't know. Because they said, when are you coming back? Only my Father knows that time. My Father looked at me one day and said, son, go get your people. And that's called the rapture of the church. And one day the trumpet will sound and the church will disappear. The world will not miss us. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the last days, after the church is gone, people will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, building, and planting. Luke 17, Jesus said it will be business as usual to the very end. It's like, what is it? Well, nobody's looking for Jesus hardly. And that's just the way it is. Now, God said, I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. God wants everybody to be saved. Jesus died for everybody. Salvation has been purchased for everybody. Matter of fact, the Bible says everybody's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because Jesus died for every human that's ever been born, whether they made it out of the womb or not. Jesus died for everybody, but it's still a gift that has to be received. That's why there are 8 scriptures in the New Testament about your name being blotted out, not written down. The day your mom met your dad, before you were ever born, your name was already in the book in heaven. God saw you coming. He had said, I'm going to order your steps, direct your paths, guide you all through, show you things to come. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing, cursing. But God said, you choose. So in our life, we get to choose. So the whole purpose of reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is to realize how God works with people. God doesn't play favorites. God loves everybody. He will bless everybody. He'll do anything that you need. God said, I will supply all of your need. What do you need? I need a job. I need to get healed. I need to be blessed. I need my marriage to get better. I need my kids to straighten up. God said, well, I will supply all your need, but I need you to trust me. So God said he watched over his word. So for 2,000 years, we've been in the church age. And if you, I remember I taught history for 10 years in the school, and it's been a rough ride because I've never had a big family. I had my dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and so did my father-in-law. So big families that talk about the past and what happened in the past and who did what and who they did it with. And they would say, I remember on the front porch of my grandparents many a time on a Sunday, I remember back in the good old days. I remember back in the good old days. Well, I taught history. When were the good old days? Was it the 30s? Man, I thought there was poverty everywhere. Man, things weren't good. Was it the 40s? We were in a war. It wasn't the 40s. Was it the 50s? I was born in 51. There were no, the greatest days in your life are in front of you, not behind you. Your greatest days are still to come. God said, I will order your steps and direct your paths. My greatest days are in front of me, not behind me. So don't waste time digging up stuff in your past. I tell married couples all the time, stay out of each other's past. Your spouse does not have a time machine. They can't change anything. Leave it alone. Don't do that. And so what we're doing is focusing on the future. So that's why it's so good to read your Bible, because that Bible, reading that story, whether it's an Old Testament story or a New Testament story, it produces something called faith. The Bible says, without faith, you don't please God. Hebrews says, without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you can't whip the devil. It takes faith. So what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how do you get faith? You got to get in the word of God. It's pretty simple. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how are we going to do that? Well, we need to get started. So what we're going to do is we're going to realize this. We're going to pick up here, and we're just going to give this one short story because we're picking up the story of Moses. This is on Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and it's about the crossing of the Red Sea. And so you realize for all these thousands of years since we've been on this planet, God's been moving in the hearts of people. God did it in the hearts of the people of the Old Testament. God has always set before us life, death, blessing, and cursing. Every generation gets to choose whether they serve God or not. Some chose to serve God. Some chose to not serve God. I remember when Jonah went to Nineveh. He's going to send them to the, God speaks to, you know, he said, I need you to go ahead and witness these people. He said, I don't want to witness to them. Jonah doesn't go to the land to witness. He gets on the boat and goes the other direction. Well, a storm breaks out. They think, man, something's wrong, man. They're throwing cargo off. So they start to draw straws. Man, somebody's cursed on this boat. Somebody on this boat's caused this to happen. So Jonah finally speaks up and said, it's me. Throw me over. I'm the reason the storm's breaking up because I've disobeyed God. I was supposed to go the other direction, but I'm going the wrong direction. Throw me over and the storm will stop. Well, they did. They threw Jonah over the side of the boat. The storm stopped. A great fish swallowed Jonah up. Now, he didn't take him to Nineveh. He took him back to where he lived, spit him back on the land. He still had to go all that way. So when he gets there, he preaches the weakest sermon in the Bible. He says, repent. That was the whole essence of a sermon. Repent. Now, the Bible says from the king to the lowest member in that country, they all repented. In sackcloth and ashes, they repented. Well, Jonah gets mad. He's angry that they repented. He wanted them to die. He wanted them to suffer. God does not want anybody to suffer. God does not want anybody to die. God wants everybody to be delivered, to be saved, to be in church, to be grown in the things of God. But God will let us choose. God will not force us. It's, when you force somebody to love you, that's not love. Married people do it all the time, all the time. Well, I'll trick you into loving me. I'll make you. You can't make somebody love you. Love's a choice. You have they get to choose. It's a choice. And so you get to choose to love somebody. That's why marriage is a covenant. You can't have a covenant. Somebody dies. You get to choose. I like to choose to spend the rest of my life loving you and serving you. So we pick this up. Let's be real quick. This is Exodus chapter 13. Moses and Aaron, the Pharaoh's had all the plagues happen. Everything's gone wrong. People have died. Man, it's been a mess. Finally gives in. Moses and Aaron led the people out of Egypt, but did not choose the way to go. God went with them, and he chose the way. In the daytime, he was in a great cloud that moved slowly before the people. At night, the cloud became a pillar of fire, and God watched over them while they rested. By day or by night, the Israelites could look at the cloud or the pillar and say, God is going with us. He is leading the way. After the great company left Goshen, God led them by a cloud to the Red Sea. Here they camped. They planned their rest from their march. But suddenly, somebody ran through the camp shouting, Pharaoh's army's coming! Pharaoh's army's coming! We're going to be taken prisoners or killed! The people looked, and sure enough, Pharaoh's army was coming behind them. The Israelites could not swim across the Red Sea. Neither could they fight against Pharaoh's skilled soldiers. How frightened they were. At first, the people blamed Moses. It's your fault. Why did you do this to us? You brought us out here in the wilderness to die? Why have you done this? So we'd rather have been slaves than be dead here in this wilderness. But Moses was not to blame. He'd only followed the cloud, and the cloud had left them there. So when Moses cried to God for help, the Lord told Moses, speak to the people and quiet them. They were all crying in fear. Moses told the people, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you will see no more forever. Now that's in your Bible. You can read that. The cloud moved backward and stopped between the camp and Pharaoh's army. To the Israelites, the cloud became a pillar of fire and lighted their camp all night long. To the Egyptians, the cloud was all darkness. God told Moses, tell the Israelites, go forward, lift your rod over the Red Sea and divide it. And Moses obeyed. And God sent a strong wind. The wind swept a wide path, and the waters rose high like a wall till every one of the Israelites and all their cattle crossed to the other side. Pharaoh's heart had hardened again after he sent the Israelites out of Goshen. He said, I made a great mistake by letting all my slaves go free. I must send my army after them and bring them back. So he followed the Israelites. With him were all of his chariots, all the chariots of Egypt and their captains. When the cloud lifted, Pharaoh saw his army. He saw the army of the Israelites walking through the sea on dry path between the two walls of water. The Egyptians rushed after them. When Pharaoh's army was far from the shore, trouble began. The horses got tangled in their harnesses. Their feet began to sink in the sand. Their chariot wheels came off. Let's go back, the soldiers cried. Israel's God is against us, but it was too late. They could not go back, for the walls of water fell down and the whole army drowned. At last, the Israelites were free. then they knew that God has saved them from their enemies. Moses wrote a beautiful song about the crossing of the Red Sea, had the people sing it, and they rejoiced, playing musical instruments called timbrels, and the women went through the camp singing to God. God is good, and he delivered. So it's a true story, and it's a great story. We need to tell the story often. I remember when I was a school administrator and I was a children's pastor, I remember many times I'd tell a story and say, well, you told this last year. I said, what? You told the story of Moses last year. Well, I'm telling it to you again. Can you quote the last year's story? They never could, because your brain leaks out. Your brain leaks out on your pillow at night, and you got to shove it back in the next morning. You need to meditate day and night. Read it again. Tell it again. Sing it again. Read it again. Tell it again. Sing it again. It produces faith. And so the more you read, the more you learn. Like, well, I read this 3 times, but I never saw that before. It's called revelation. It's not information. It's revelation. So, guys, thanks for listening today. We've learned a lot. Look forward to being with you next time. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.